This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
People are looking to put Justin Fields in.
As long as Andy's in the game, I'm going to be rooting for Andy, hoping that, you know, we put up 100 points a game. I think what the fans have to realize is we're on the same team.
Dalton play fake to Herbert, going to toss it down the right side. To the air, makes the catch. Dalton goes deep.
Happy Monday. This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and streaming live on ESPN+. Courtney Cronin, Joe Fortenbaugh sitting in for Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And we're going to tap in with one now, one of my favorite NFL reporters, and she should be one of yours too. It's Kimberly Martin, ESPN NFL reporter covering the league at large, joining us here on the Goodyear Hotline. Kim, I saw you talking about it on Get Up earlier this morning, so I want to ask you about it now. Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, we know they're going to be starting week one in spite of what Urban Meyer has said about Trevor Lawrence to this point. But who else of the other three remaining third rounders has the best shot to earn the starting bid?
Well, I would say Mac Jones, depending how long Cam is away from the facility. No, I think Mac, because he was a guy that pre-draft, all the talk about Mac Jones was how he was the most pro-ready outside of Trevor Lawrence, given where he played. And the fact that the Patriots, he fell to the Patriots, and they feel really good about him. I think it's on Cam to solidify each day, like, I'm the starter. And I think that goes for a lot of these veterans, you know, touch on Andy Dalton, Jimmy G. Like, let's not get it twisted. All of these vets know that they're on borrowed time. And it really is up to these rookies to at least show on the practice field and then these preseason games. And once the season starts, like, hey, it's my time now. And I think Mac might actually have the best chance from a skill set standpoint, but the desperation in Chicago, I think that's the big issue right now. Desperation in Chicago might force Matt Nagy to have to play Justin Fields earlier than I know I would think I would want to see him.
Number two overall pick in the draft, Zach Wilson out of BYU, has been impressive through two preseason starts. However, the rub is, well, those are preseason starts. It seems like, yep, the more success he has, the higher the expectations go. But the reality is the Jets are a long way away from true Super Bowl contention. So what are reasonable expectations, in your opinion, for Zach Wilson this season?
You know, I was at Jets camp recently, and the buzz, it's warranted. The kid throws, I mean, like all these guys, he throws a pretty ball. But it's not just that. It's the moment doesn't seem too big. You know, the thing with Zach, though, especially, you know, I'm from Brooklyn, so I'm from this New York market, right? So any practice that he has, you know, bad or good, it's almost like in this market, it's like, oh, well, he's amazing. He's going to be the greatest. And then when he doesn't look good, it's like, oh, did the Jets make a mistake? I think it's very hard for fans to be level-headed, especially when you're talking about franchises like Chicago, like New York, where you've seen so many bad quarterbacks, or you've seen a franchise not get the QB right. But Zach Wilson, for what we've seen so far, the expectation is to just continue honestly doing what you're doing, which is learning. Like, that's why the Jets, before they had all these defensive injuries, they're throwing all sorts of different looks at him in practice. Granted, it's practice, but Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas, the whole point is to throw a lot of stuff at him in practice, have him see different looks in preseason games, have him kind of self-correct in the moment, have him correct before he even gets in the film room, where he's like, you know what, I know I messed up there. This is what I should have done. And and block out the noise. And in this market, you know, I did a SportsCenter piece recently about how the Jets are still looking for the next Joe Namath. You know, that's a long time that this franchise is looking for the guy. And it's funny, but it's so heartbreaking, because these poor fans, and that's why I say temper expectations somewhat. The kid can be really, really good, but this is a roster that's rebuilding, and Robert Saleh, the head coach, is almost giddy that he could lead the league in rookie snaps. and it, for starters. And that might scare some coaches. He loves it. But keep that in mind. They could have a whole team full of young kids, rookies out there, and the growing pains will come.
Courtney Cronin, Joe Fortenbaugh talking with Kimberly Martin, ESPN NFL reporter, joining us via the Goodyear hotline here on Barton Hahn. So three teams, Chicago, San Francisco, and the New England Patriots all have quarterback competitions between veteran incumbents and these rookie quarterbacks. But who of the three, Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, and Jimmy G, would you have the most faith in leading their team to the postseason?
I would have to say, all right, Courtney, are we talking postseason 2021? Are we talking about just overall, like, who I would want to see lead my team? Because if it's 2021, I would think,
it's got to be Garoppolo, right?
Honestly.
It's got to be Garoppolo for guys who are currently projected, right?
Oh, I thought you meant the kids. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I've got rookie QBs on the brain. Oh, of the three starters? Yeah. Yeah, it's not even close. And the shame of it is that Jimmy G is a proven winner, right? At least in San Francisco, right? But he still is not quite good enough for what Kyle Shanahan wants to do. And even so, that shows you how deep this team is. Like, they're going to get Bosa back, B Ford. Like, those guys, B Ford is just a straight speed demon. Like, that defense is legit. You know, on offense, you got George Kittle. Like, you've got pieces where Jimmy G, if he just protects the football and doesn't cost you games, like, you don't lose games from the quarterback position. San Francisco is my team right now, regardless of QB, that gets to the playoffs and wins that division. So I think it's Jimmy G. I'm so interested to see when Trey Lance will push him out that seat, though.
Kimberly, given how important this season is and how much development there still is to go, are you surprised the New York Giants aren't playing quarterback Daniel Jones at all in these preseason games?
You know what? I am so glad you asked me this. Okay, so I'm so torn. Because my first reaction was like, wait a second, why is Daniel Jones not playing in the preseason? Because when you see a Patrick Mahomes and a Tyreek Hill and you see the Chiefs offensive players playing in the preseason, you kind of say like, well, what exactly has Daniel Jones done to this point to prove that he gets like Tom Brady treatment? It's like, no, I'm good. I don't need to play. That's my first reaction. Clearly, because, you know, Brandon Staley is the same, where it's like there's some coaches who feel like right now it's about we've got to evaluate some of these bottom-of-the-roster guys, those guys fighting for spots, and we don't want to risk injuries. Like, look, the Jets went up to Green Bay and came back decimated, right? And they had a couple joint practices and a preseason game. And so that is the fear this early. I am interested to see across the league teams that sat a lot of their starters. If teams come out and play well to start, then cool. Okay, then you know what? I was worrying for nothing about Daniel Jones and the rest of the guys. If they start out slow, especially if the Giants, they got new pieces. You want to make sure that Daniel Jones is going to take that next leap, you know, forward and solidify his standing as the guy in New York. I don't love it, but if they come out and they're ready to rock, and then, you know what, I'm worrying for nothing. So we'll see.
Kimberly Martin, ESPN NFL reporter, joining us here on Barton and Hahn. I wanted to go back really quick. We briefly mentioned the Cam Newton situation. He's going to have to be away from his team for 5 days because of the COVID-19 testing protocol. He did not test at the facility. He was out with a team-approved medical thing that he had to do and was taking daily COVID tests. But nonetheless, he's going to have to abide by the protocol, the re-entry protocol. So he's going to have to miss out on these practices for the next couple of days. How much ground do you think Mac Jones can feasibly make up in that time? Because Bill Belichick has said, you know, even as late as this morning, that it's going to take somebody like really, really good coming along to knock Cam off of where he's projected to be this year, because he's been in the offense. He's a veteran quarterback. Can Mac mm-hmm. Jones do that very thing in this short amount of time?
I think what he can do, he may not unseat Cam for week one, right? But any opportunity these rookie QBs have to get more reps, to get more time with the ones, to get, and it's not just practice, Patriots practice. It's, Cam is going to miss one of the joint practices against the Giants, I believe. So it's valuable work against another team as well. And I think Mac has to show that he's got command of the offense, that he can move the ball downfield, that he can be consistent, that he can take care of the football. That's what all these front office guys and coaches want to see. Can you take care of the football? Do you grasp the offense? Can you set the protection and the calls when you step to the line? Like, are you that guy that in the huddle, all your teammates are like, okay, we're good. You know, it might be the preseason, but there's so much valuable experience to be gained. And if your competition, in this case, it's Cam Newton, is not even around, like, that's your opportunity to get more reps and to at least show. Because keep in mind, the more time you get with the ones, that's the coaches, the coaching staff being able to visualize you in this offense, you know, and how you will look and how you will command the offense. So I think he may not unseat Cam in just 3 days, but the work that he does will go a long way in how soon he can do that once the season starts.
Kimberly, before we say goodbye, Carson Wentz and Quentin Nelson suffered similar injuries in Indianapolis. The mm-hmm. timeline for coming back was 5 to 12 weeks. It seems more like 5 to 12 hours because the guys are going to be back to practice this week.
Right?
Ultimately, like, what does this mean for the Colts? Are these two going to be past these injuries to the point where the Colts can regain their position as the 1A and 1B alongside Tennessee, or does Tennessee still have the edge over them?
Listen, they better come back healthy so they can regain their position. I'm actually higher on the Colts than the Titans come into this year, with everybody healthy. When the timeline first came out, I was like, oh, man, can you imagine, like, close to 12 weeks? We're like, what could this be? And so when the report of them returning to practice today, you know, people on the league were like, oh, is that, like, an indictment of the guys behind them? You know, behind Carson? Is that, like, you know, the Colts trying to rush him back? I don't think that's the case, but it does to me speak to, I think things are, it's a delicate situation in Indy only because Carson, this is a team that, even Phillip Rivers, this was a team that was a QB away from going far in the playoffs. That was the thought process behind these guys. Like, okay, if they get a QB in there, they settled on Carson Wentz. That's the guy that Reich believes in. And for him to be hurt and have to deal with any sort of pain management type stuff with this foot injury, that's an issue. I think Quentin Nelson, if you can get Quentin Nelson, who, no offense to Darius Leonard, Carson Wentz, he's the most important person on this team, in my opinion. I think he's the best player on this team. So to have Quentin Nelson back as quicker than you may have thought, I think that bodes really well for their chances. I hope that they're able to come back healthy and these injuries won't prohibit them during the season.
She is Kimberly Martin giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. ESPN NFL reporter Kimberly Martin joining us here on Barton Hahn. Kim, thanks so much. Appreciate you.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, so speaking of the miracles of modern medicine, Carson Wentz in this foot situation, Joe, I can't wrap my head around it. 3 or 4 weeks ago, he has the surgery. The timetable we're given is 5 to 12 weeks. He'll be back, and then all of a sudden they get shrunk down to 3-ish weeks of a recovery and that he should be ready for that opener on September 12th. And then today I'm looking at video right now of him back at practice, and this is a guy who's moving pretty darn well for someone who just had foot surgery. He's rolling out. He's, you know, throwing on the run. He took all of the first team reps in one-on-ones in 7-on-7 today. I know that, you know, they're trying to slow play this, but at least what they're saying, but certainly doesn't feel like that right now.
the 5 to 12 week timeline was utterly ridiculous. And I know that that's legit. I'm not claiming it's not. But to sit there and say, well, you know, he could be back and he could be back in 5. He could be back in 12. It's like, thanks. What's this job pay? Well, it could pay $15 an hour. It could pay $2,000 an hour. It's like, well, you know, there's a little bit of a difference depending on whether or not I'm going to take this job. But thank you for giving me a range there. So ultimately, it looks like they're both back prior to 5 weeks, which is great news for the Colts, considering they're going to start the season hosting the Seattle Seahawks, and their first 5 games far more treacherous than what Tennessee's going to face through their 5 games. Because make no mistake about it, this is a two-horse race in the AFC South. Ultimately, congratulations to Indianapolis, because right now it looks like they avoided a major scare with quarterback Carson Wentz. But you got to wonder now, how worried is everybody that this was the knock on Wentz when you signed him, right? You know, he can play. The knock is that he can't stay healthy. So that he gets hurt before you even start the season. Now you got him back, but now it just feels like the other shoe's going to drop somewhere around the corner. Good move by not panicking and making a trade and giving up too many future assets. Stay the course. Chris Ballard is one of the best general managers in the NFL. He knows what he's doing. This is a hell of a football team. But they are going to have a very small margin for error with Tennessee lurking in the shadows and with Carson Wentz seemingly just one misstep away from yet another injury.
Yeah, it felt like it was a far worse injury that would have a far longer timeline when this initially was discovered back at the end of July, early August. But he's back in practice today. He was, like we said, going through one-on-one individual drills and 7-on-7. And we'll find out a little bit more of all that he was able to do at the conclusion of practice. But here's Colts head coach Frank Reich on the injury update with Carson Wentz from earlier today. Take a listen.
You're going to see him out there on the practice field this week. He'll be out there tomorrow taking some things. And, you know, we're
practicing, Frank? Like practicing?
Yes. He'll be out there and it'll be limited. He'll be limited, but he will be participating, as will Kelly and as will Quentin Nelson.
I mean, you can hear the surprise in that reporter's voice. Practicing? You mean like actually moving around there with pads and stuff and, you know, throwing the ball and being a quarterback? Not just,
Frank's like,
you know, going through the rehab process on a side field. He's actually out there practicing. And Frank's like, yeah, I said practice.
Why are you so surprised? We told you 5 to 12
exactly.
weeks. It could have happened at any moment. You idiot should have known that this was due to happen at any point in the next 15 years based on the timeline we gave you. No, it's fantastic for the Colts because it felt like a legitimate shot at the Super Bowl was slipping away before they even got to week one. So now if Wentz and Nelson are both healthy, they can go back to trying to build that rapport with the offense and getting off on the right foot, because that Seattle game in week one is one of the marquee attractions to open the season, which, by the way, the Colts were a very small favorite, somewhere around 2, 2.5 for that game prior to the injuries. It swung all the way to Seattle -2, -3 on the road. Now that these guys are healthy, there's a lot of value in grabbing the Colts as a home dog in that game. With the defense they bring to the table, with the coaching they bring to the table, with some of the questions regarding Seattle coming to the table in that matchup, Indianapolis as an underdog is a great spot to be in week one, in my opinion.
The foot injury that was thought to change the complexion of the AFC South is, well, changing the complexion again, with the Colts in the minds of some very much back in this, if Carson Wentz can get back in this and up to game shape by week one, that September 12th opener against Seattle. Meanwhile, on Saturday, Cam Newton traveled to a, quote, club-approved medical appointment that required him to leave the New England area. He received daily COVID tests, which were all negative. But due to a misunderstanding about tests conducted away from NFL facilities as required by the NFL and NFLPA protocols, Cam is now subject to a 5-day entry cadence process before returning to the practice facility. He's going to participate in virtual team activities, and he'll be back at the facility this Thursday, the 26th of August. So we just talked with Kim Martin about this and everything that she had to say about what the ground that Mac Jones could potentially make up here. It's not an ideal situation for Cam Newton to be in, having to miss all of these practices where you're doing everything virtually, and Mac Jones, at least for the time being, becomes the guy. And the Patriots, who have a joint practice with the New York Giants, they're going to get a chance to look at him and see what that offense would look like with him leading it. Here's Bill Belichick on what somebody would have to do, maybe it's a Mac Jones, in order to unseat Cam Newton for QB1. Take a listen.
The fact that Cam started last year and he's here, somebody's going to have to play better than him. I mean, we're not just going to take a job and say, okay, here, this is, you know, gift wrapped for somebody, you know. But training camp is all about competition, and – there's an element to who the starter is, but there's also a competition. And in the end, the competition is going to decide how things go in any given year. And I think everybody on the team is really in the same boat. It's no different. Like, the player's name doesn't matter. It's whatever you did last year is okay, great, whether it was good or it wasn't so good. This is a new year. This is a new opportunity. And each one of us has to establish our level of performance this year, no matter what position we play, head coach, position coach, offensive player, defensive player, whatever it is. And then what that role becomes is what, you know, what we show that we're capable of doing.
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Straight ahead, the story of the NFL preseason remains the rookies, and some of those performances are drawing a lot of attention. We'll get into that next, but first, DoorDash here with Summer of Dash Pass. Right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? $10 off. Got a cough? Get relief delivered for less. Want to surprise your crush or me? Send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass in the DoorDash app. And stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply. Barton Hahn, straight ahead.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
This is Bart and Han on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and streaming live on ESPN+. Courtney Cronin, Joe Fortenbaugh, sitting in for Bart Scott and Alan Han on this Monday afternoon. Get in touch with us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. All righty, you know what time it is here on Barton Hahn. It's time for Audio Files.
The Audio File. The Audio File.
All right, so we heard a lot of praise heaped on Aaron Rodgers from Zach Wilson, the rookie Jets quarterback, last week. It's somebody he was, you know, basically fanboying over, and kind of cool to be with him in the joint practice that the Jets and the Packers had. Now, here's what Aaron Rodgers had to say about Zach Wilson after their preseason game.
I got to know Zach a little bit in the offseason, had some conversation with him. He's a good young kid. You know, I really like his disposition, his mentality. He can throw the heck out of it. You know, he had a really nice throw where he kind of broke the pocket, broke contain, moving to his right, threw it way down the right sideline. That's the kind of stuff he's going to need to do. You know, as we saw this week in practice, they got a lot of young guys. Their front offensive line still needs to gel together. I said, man, you got to be on your footwork and make sure you're dealing that ball, because there's growing pains as a rookie for sure, especially on a team that struggled last year. But excited for him.
Zach Wilson, 9 of 11, 128 yards, 2 touchdowns, 154.7 passer rating in the 23-14 final Week 2 preseason over Green Bay. I think these are great comments, and let's just read them at surface value, shall we? I know that some people, Joe, are going to want to pick apart everything Aaron Rodgers said and say, oh, well, he's saying all this about Zach Wilson. Why isn't he saying it about Jordan Love? I don't see it like that. Jordan Love didn't play because he has a sprained throwing shoulder. And I think it's just one quarterback giving praise to another, returning the favor. What do you think?
this is what you want to see. You draft a quarterback with the number two overall pick. You want him to have some success in the preseason, and that's exactly what Wilson has done to date. But he's going against largely vanilla defenses that aren't necessarily disguising their looks the way they will in the regular season. Week one at Carolina offers a very interesting opportunity to get your feet wet and to try to make some plays. The Panthers ranked 18th in total defense and 18th in scoring defense last season, so there's opportunity there. However, they did spend a considerable amount of resources this offseason upgrading that defense. So it's on the road. It's week one. When it comes to the Jets, expectations is going to be the key word. Don't let them get too high because this is a work in progress, but so far, based on what we've seen and heard from guys like Aaron Rodgers, it's off and running on the right foot.
Now, quarterback, another quarterback that we've heard a lot of good things about and seen a lot of good things in the preseason is rookie Justin Fields over in Chicago. But Matt Nagy and everything within the Bears organization has publicly remained status quo, that Andy Dalton is going to be the starter going into week one. As Andy Dalton said, he cheers for Justin Fields, but it's my time. What does his head coach think, and what is he waiting to see about Andy Dalton in the regular season? Here's Matt Nagy.
For us is going to be something for us is seeing what he does during the season. You know, that's how we got to be able to see what can Andy do during the season with this team and with these guys. That has been our plan this whole entire time. At the same point in time, we also need to evaluate and see where Justin's at and what he can do. And again, he's doing everything that we're asking him to do. He's doing great. So I think it's a good situation for us, and I understand. I truly understand the I don't know what the word would be, but the want to for people to want to see more Justin and all that. I get that, but we also understand where we're at and how what the true plan is, and all we can do is ask Justin to keep playing, and he's doing it, and Andy to keep playing, and Nick to keep playing.
So to paraphrase that, Matt Nagy knows what he wants to do, but he also knows what the Bears can't do, and that's start Justin Fields in week one. They paid Andy Dalton $10 million on a one-year contract just so they'd be able, if they were able to get a quarterback, and they did in the first round by trading the farm away in order to get Justin Fields, that they could slow play that development until they are comfortable flipping the offense over to him. I feel like he's saying everything he needs to say here, Joe, about the Andy Dalton situation. And, you know, we're going to see how he does in the season. That's going to determine things for us. See how he plays. You can't go ahead and then turn the reins over to Justin Fields before you actually do that very thing that you just said, right?
No quarterback, no franchise, I should say, no fan base in all the NFL is more thirsty for capable quarterback play than the Chicago Bears, and that includes the New York Jets. The Bears are the only franchise in NFL history that has never had a 4,000-yard passer. They have suffered through a mistake after mistake after mistake at the position, and now they have Justin Fields. But you got to bring him along slowly, and you've got to understand what you're working with here. Fields was what, like 9 of 19 against Buffalo's B squad over the weekend? That's
wasn't
not
great.
That great.
Mm-hmm. And a couple scrambles. That's about
and
it.
The week before that against Miami, he struggled against the starters, and then he picked it up against the backups. Sky's the limit. Kid's got an incredibly bright future. But week one against the Rams in Los Angeles on Sunday Night Football, that's why you have Andy Dalton. And if you're the organization, you have to do what's best for the organization and the development of Justin Fields. Matt Nagy trying to save his job, Ryan Pace trying to save his job, that can't be at the forefront of the decision-making process for the Chicago Bears, because if it is, this, like so many other things they have done in the last decade, is going to end in disaster.
And a team that actually has time on their side to get the development of their rookie quarterback right, because they've got an incumbent starter who led them to a Super Bowl in 2019. It's the San Francisco 49ers. Justin Fields looked a lot better to start out how he played in a preseason win over the Los Angeles Chargers yesterday than he did in week one. He threw an early interception and then was able to rebound, so that leads people to believe, will Kyle Shanahan have to change his mind about what he's planning to do at the quarterback position? And he says that he's not ready to name a starter yet for week one.
Kyle is always challenging us. I think he kind of knows us and knows how to push guys in certain ways, I guess you could say, but I'm not too worried about that. I'm just, you know, trying to go out there now, get ready for the Raiders. There's just so many other things to worry about. Just I'll let the chips fall as they may type of thing.
he's handling it just the way that he should. That's Jimmy Garoppolo, who was just speaking about Kyle Shanahan not yet naming a week one starter. He's talked about the competition and the challenge that puts on him as well. I feel like if you are Jimmy G, you are anticipating being the starter. It's your job to lose at this point. It's your job to keep playing until they pull you and tell you you're not the starting quarterback anymore, right?
Garoppolo's a realist. He's still on a real big contract, and he's getting paid for his efforts, but he also understands that he has not been able to stay on the field and help this football team win games. Last year, he got hurt and missed a big portion of the season. 2 seasons ago, prior to the Super Bowl run, he got injured in the second or third week of the year against Kansas City and was lost for the season. The most important ability is availability. And if Garoppolo yep. can't play, they have to look for someone who can play. Garoppolo's inability to stay on the field is what led to the 49ers looking for a guy like Trey Lance. So Garoppolo's going to get first crack at it. He's at Detroit in week one. That's winnable. They're a touchdown favorite. He's at Philadelphia in week two. That's winnable. They're just under a touchdown favorite for that game. They start 2-0, and then they get ready to go on this run where they're going to host Green Bay, Seattle, and then I believe they travel to Arizona. Garoppolo's in the driver's seat to take one last run at it. And no matter how he wants to look at it, the reality of the situation is that he's auditioning for his future while Trey Lance is getting ready to take Garoppolo's job somewhere down the line.
So we talk a lot about rookie quarterbacks in the preseason because there are so many battles across the NFL, but one of the top picks that we haven't mentioned all that much in the 2021 draft is Bengals wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase, who's had a pretty rough start to the preseason. You've seen the highlights, the ball bouncing off his hand and off of his body. Targeted 3 times, no catches made in the Bengals' 17-13 loss to the Washington football team in the second week of the preseason. So how concerned are the Bengals about this, these developments here with Ja'Marr Chase? Here's Zach Taylor, head coach, on the rough start to the preseason for the wide receiver.
I don't think he's short on confidence, and that's a good thing. And, you know, guys are building him up. And you know, just talking to TB and all these guys all struggled coming in as a rookie. You know, the expectations are so high that you expect him to come in and just be a star right out the gate. But it takes work. You got to put in the work, and that consistency comes over time. And by no means are we down on Ja'Marr. You know, he's just going through some of the things rookies go through in training camp, and we expect him to improve over the course of this week.
That was Bengals head coach Zach Taylor on rookie wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase, who had 3 drops on Saturday. All right, ESPN Radio is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Straight ahead, we'll close out Barton Hahn dissecting the question of whether the Jets really found their answer at quarterback for the first time since Joe Namath. That's straight ahead, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and streaming live on ESPN+.
Bart and Hahn.
All aboard the Zach Wilson hype train. It has officially left MetLife Stadium and is charging full throttle into week one. It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and the ESPN app. Get in touch with us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So in total, the 21-year-old second overall pick for the New York Jets is 15 of 20 for 191 yards, 2 touchdowns, no turnovers in 2 preseason games. He's been nearly perfect in 6 offensive possessions so far this season. He's led the Jets 2 points on 4 of them, has not had a single 3 and out, and he was a star again in his second game against the Green Bay Packers. And Courtney Cronin, Joe Fortenbaugh sitting in for Bart Scott and Alan Hahn on this Monday afternoon. Thanks for joining us here on ESPN Radio. But Joe, when I looked at his preseason game so far, and specifically what I was hoping to see out of Zach Wilson in this second one, it was some of those mechanics, some of those instinctual things, too, that you just can't teach, that you either have it or you don't. And watching him, the way that he'd like move a receiver, you know, off of his progressions and his reads, and the way that he'd have a perfectly placed back shoulder, you know, on the other shoulder of the receiver to avoid that receiver getting hit by a safety, for example. I think there's a lot of things that this guy does at this level that leads you to believe he is as good as advertised. He is fitting the billing so far, and that he's somebody the Jets are going to be able to rely on as that presumptive starter in week one. And assuming, you know, at that point, given what you've seen in the preseason, again, it is preseason, but the way he's played leads you to believe that he's going to be capable of continuing this level when he's actually seeing real defenses at NFL speed.
He's got the goods. He certainly has the goods. He's got the mindset. He's got all the tools in the toolbox. But the same player has the potential to go in multiple different directions through their career. And it all depends on external factors, right? A career-ending injury, for example, is an external factor. The most important thing the Jets can do is look a little bit northwest to the Buffalo Bills and follow that script. And if they want to have success with a quarterback for the first time in a long time, give Zach Wilson exactly what the Buffalo Bills gave Josh Allen. And that's continuity. That's what it is. Continuity and support. The easiest way to ruin a young quarterback is to give him three different offensive coordinators or three different play callers in 3 years. To give him no help at wide receiver. To leave him behind an awful offensive line. Take a look at Andrew Luck. Suffered so many injuries, he just said, you know what? I quit. Forget this. I don't need to deal with this anymore. You, as the New York Jets, the front office, the coaching staff, owe it to Wilson to give him every opportunity. So you drafted the quarterback just like Buffalo did with Josh Allen. And a lot of people criticized that pick because Allen was coming out of Wyoming and he was very, very raw as a passer. But look at what Buffalo did. Sean McDermott, the head coach, was there when he was drafted. He's still there now. Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, was there when Josh Allen was drafted. He's still there now. They went out and they added a premier wide receiver in Stephon Diggs. They have done everything possible to give this kid a chance to succeed. And guess what? He popped last year and he helped get him to the AFC Championship game. Therefore, they gave him a huge contract, and now the future is bright. That's what the Jets need to do. Robert Saleh, first-year head coach, he brings over Mike LaFleur, who is the passing game coordinator in San Francisco. Mike LaFleur is the brother of Matt LaFleur, who's the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. He's a very bright offensive mind. You keep these guys together with Zach Wilson, and you build out the offensive line, and you give him the weapons he needs to succeed, and he's going to have a chance to reach his full potential. And that's all you can do as an NFL organization when you draft what you believe is your quarterback of the future. Give them a chance to flourish. The Chicago Bears never did that with Mitchell Trubisky. Wouldn't be surprised if he had some success elsewhere. The Miami Dolphins never did it with Ryan Tannehill because of Adam Gase. He had success under offensive coordinator Arthur Smith when he was in Tennessee. Give him a chance. And if you have that continuity and you build around the kid, he is going to have that chance, Courtney, to thrive.
There's something about Zach Wilson and the way that he's performed to date in these two preseason games. And mind you, the amount of first-team defenses and starters that he's faced has been very minimal at this point. But he looks really poised in the pocket. Like, there's no jitters there. The timing with his receivers is pretty much been spot on. I can think of some of those throws to Corey Davis that he made. He gets the ball out quickly, and he has yet to take a sack this preseason. So I think that that's something that gives me the belief that this is going to continue, and he just needs to continue to build on this. But they've got a nice answer, at least for right now. I mean, everything is pointing towards things going in the right direction for Zach Wilson and the Jets. They wrap up their preseason action against the Philadelphia Eagles this week. Miss any portion of the show? You can always find both hours of Barton Hahn posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to your podcast. Great show, Joe. Thanks for joining me here on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app. Be sure to stay tuned for more talk on the New York Jets and Zach Wilson coming up next here. You've been listening to Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.